You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
I'm watching that.
Give me the remote.
No,
give it. It's off.
Zach, what the bloody hell do you think you're doing?
You really want to choke her out in a lot of fingers?
Yeah.
Now pull it tight.
Now she's in trouble.
Oh, wait, I know you. You're from that weird family, aren't you?
We're not weird.
We don't like wrestling.
How do you know if you've ever been?
I've never had rectal bleeding before, but I'm pretty sure I'm not a fan of that.
How about I shove her head up your ass and then we can find out? Hello?
My name is Hutch Morgan. I'm calling from WWE. We'd like both of you to come try out for us.
WWE!
It's all fake anyway, isn't it?
Move up. Sorry about that.
It's The Rock.
We're huge fans.
Thank you so much.
What advice would you give us? We want to be the next you.
What are your names again?
My name.
It doesn't matter what your names are. You walk around here interrupting The Rock, you like you haven't seen the sun in 20 years. You like you just stepped out of Oliver Twist.
Please, sir, may I have some more advice, sir?
You want some advice? Here's The Rock's advice. Shut your mouth.
Thanks, Dwayne.
You got it. Good morning, wrestling nerds. Well, this is where we see whether or not you get to go on to WWE.
This is our shot, Zach.
Hello.
Why do you want to wrestle?
I'm the toughest bastard in any room. Probably shouldn't swear, not when there's ladies present. Sorry, miss. Sorry about that.
If I call your name, that means you'll be coming with me to Florida. Paige. Thank you all very much.
You have to take my brother. No one deserves this more than Zach.
I wish you the best, son, but this is the end of the line for you.
Do you know what it's like to want one thing in life, and then your own sister takes it away from you?
It was my dream, too.
I have no idea who I'm supposed to be out there.
You're not just doing this for you. You're doing it for the family.
Paige, I myself have come from a wrestling family too. I know exactly what it means to you. But don't worry about being the next me. Be the first you.
What?
It's Dwayne Johnson. How are you?
Prove it.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Yeah, and I'm Vin Diesel, mate.
I'm sorry.
Yes, let's get ready to podcast on this next outing that we're doing today for WrestleTober. Hello.
Yeah.
How are we all?
From the top rope, Dion comes in with a huge haymaker. Oh, my God.
Did you say huge hangover?
Yep.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean,
that's your finishing move.
After five big Boilermakers, he's straight in.
He's straight to the porcelain bowl. Oh, no. Hey, there we go.
That's going to leave a mark, people.
Yeah. Next.
Yeah.
No, he's next
that?
On the roster.
He's falling asleep behind the Spanish announcer's table. Oh, my God.
Who's next on the roster?
Coming in. Weighing exactly as much as she's meant to, Peter. Oh my God! Sorry.
That's some introduction.
Yeah.
it's hewing as close to politically correct as I can,
while still feeling wrong.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear Jill's.
And coming from under the stage, oh my God, with a chair shot heard around my house, Jill!
Excellent.
Yeah, welcome.
Let's put Quinny back in his cage match.
We want tables.
Jesus.
What, the five times table or the sixth times?
No, the periodic table!
Oh. Yay!
Excellent. You've all done very well.
We're done.
Yeah. Well, this is a bit of fun that we're having tonight, because finally, after a couple of films that were not particularly fun, now we get to have a little bit of fun with Fighting With My Family, which is what I do at every holiday.
I don't usually enjoy this much.
Yeah, no. I don't usually enjoy fighting with my family, but I enjoy this people's family fights.
I want to call out Pritikanga says, you know, forget the people's eyebrow. We want to see the industry's eyebrow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
There it is. It's hidden. Oh, there.
Subtle.
Like, I like that the industry's eyebrow. Maybe, it's subtle, but it's there.
Jesus.
My main question this week is, do wrestling movies exist that aren't based on true stories?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Next week.
Yes. As somebody who's never watched a wrestling movie before until the last 3 weeks.
Yes, you're getting a real in-depth look at the world of wrestling.
Well, The Wrestler wasn't built based on a true story. It just felt very real. Oh,
that's true. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It just felt very real.
And it could well have been based on multiple true stories all smushed into one.
And I'm pretty sure Nacho Libre isn't based on a real story, is it?
I don't think so.
So there you go. No. Top and tailed.
But I have another question for you. Can the WWE make a film that is not propaganda?
No. No.
Little bit of trivia. They hired Leni Riefenstahl to advise on how to do their big shows. And it's working quite well for them.
Yeah.
totally making pretty die with his connection today. So again, off he goes. Off he goes on that one. Are you back or are you gone, Quinny? Because you're not saying anything. It sounds like you're actually fully out. Amazing. I love it again. Every afternoon, we love this. One quick question I have to ask. Peter and Jill and Quinny, had you seen Fighting With My Family when it originally came out in 2019?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Quinny, had you seen it?
No, I did not.
You missed this one? Okay. To be fair, it might have got overshadowed by a few big world challenges.
But I remember when it...
You remember what?
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah. What do you remember, Quinny?
I'm fixing my internet.
Are you fighting with your Wi-Fi? Amazing. So while Quinny fights with his Wi-Fi, we'll talk about getting onto this one. Yeah, it came out and I kind of missed it, but I did see it and I wanted to watch it and I think I watched about 20 minutes of it.
Oh.
And then I forgot about it. And then I finally watched it from top and tail for this. And I had a very nice time.
As did I, now that I'm back.
Oh, good. Fantastic.
Yeah. Sorry, had to fix the internet. Fucking
pedal faster, Quinny.
I cannot believe. I don't know whether it's Twitch or what, but it just does my head in. I didn't see this when it came out, but I do remember seeing ads for it and being like, oh, Nick Frost in a wrestling comedy, that would be kind of entertaining. And then seeing The Rock in it, I was like, oh, I'll probably give that a go sometime. So I'd always been thinking I will come back to that. And thankfully, you guys gave me the opportunity to do exactly that.
Yay.
Good. And also Florence Pugh.
Yes.
Doing this film and Midsommar at the same time and then getting recognised for Midsommar. So that's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah. I find her just so fucking watchable.
Yeah.
Like, not in a creepy way or anything. Like, the more I said that, I was like, oh, that sounds creepy. But, like, the way that she sort of wears her emotions on her sleeve, I find her just so fucking, like, magnetic to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't... And this was sort of before she'd really broken.
Yeah.
And this and Midsommar at the same time. So, yeah, I was like, oh, fuck, yeah, she's in this. Great.
Yeah. Honestly, I think if it was anybody else, the movie maybe wouldn't be as entertaining of a watch.
Mm. Yeah. It's funny. I forgot until the end that it was a true story.
Oh.
So, like, even though they tell you right up front that it's a true story. And, I mean, how true is true?
Oh, it's definitely been Hollywoodified. Because, there's quite a bit that, I mean, it's a vehicle for good guy The Rock. Let's be honest. It's definitely, like, WWE propaganda. And they do take liberties with Paige's story.
I'm intrigued to know how much, because like there were quite a few bits of it. I was like, well, that's a bit fucking twee, isn't
Yeah.
But
Well, they have to make
then
it.
there are other bits where I was like, you know, especially in the post credits where you see some of the real people and you're like, oh, not
Yep.
actually that far from the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I think they nailed the look of the characters, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of the terminology, mostly for violence.
I mean, look, it's good. It's Stephen Merchant's second directorial debut,
Okay.
really. De no,
It's not a debut,
There
it's
is
just
no
his
such thing
second
as a
film.
second debut.
Yeah, well.
It's his sophomore film
Yes, there
debut.
we go. Sorry. But I could actually tell because he wrote this one as well. And it had a lot of that British humor that kind of crept to it. So I was glad that they kind of kept it because it is a very American story, but trying to be told about British characters. And I felt that they did a pretty good job of getting the Britishness into the American story. All right, and I liked it a lot more than I thought I would because I just don't know anything about the wrestling. But at least it
Gotcha.
had people in there, and I was like, oh, okay. You know,
Yeah.
what does the underground wrestling scene in England look like? Ah, much like a lot of underground wrestling scenes in many other countries around the world. The biggest show
I found
is the
that very charming
WWE.
in a way, though. Like the street level wrestling in the UK has a, I don't know, it has that kind of, you know, down the pub feel. Like, and yes, they're, you know, playing it up for the 30 people in attendance. But I don't know, I found that oddly charming.
It is,
It's all
yeah. I
very
mean,
charming.
as someone that has been to like indie shows in Australia, I can say that the vibe check is is on point. You just have the locals that are like really into it, and they're the ones that come down every week to watch.
And
And yeah,
do they
it's
have their favorites?
a ring in a rec center with like fold out chairs just kind of sitting around.
And you know, when they finish wrestling, they've got to put the ring away, pack it back
Yes.
up, and take it away with them because
Yeah.
they don't just
The
leave it
wrestlers have to do the setup and the pack down.
there. Yeah. So
Which I
it
kind
felt
of
very
love.
honest.
Yeah. Pete, what are your thoughts on this one? You've been quiet.
I didn't dislike it. I think because I don't have a lot of investment in the wrestling world, so you know, none of the cameos or yeah, anything like that really excited me, including The Rock, in that context. That I thought it was like a decent storytelling, but I wasn't super emotionally invested.
I'm not sure that
And
you
I
needed
didn't
to.
realize it was based on a true story till like towards the end when I started Googling things.
Oh, this seems weird because it came out very, very strong at the start. I was that this is based on a true story, and then everyone kind of
Maybe I
ignored that.
wasn't paying attention.
Okay,
Yeah,
fine.
similar to
Oh,
what Peter did last week with the Iron Claw.
no.
It's the whole
Honestly.
bit at the start that said based on a true story.
Yeah.
Nobody watches the bit at the start.
You.
That's
Oh,
when
whoa.
you're getting your
Link.
popcorn and your drinks.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Ouch.
Though I will admit I did exactly the same, which was you go to it and I read that and I was like, oh, interesting. But then the film feels so formulaic. And I don't want to be shitting on it, but it felt very much like a beat for beat, you know, quasi uplifting sports related. You know,
Almost like the
underdog
Hallmark movie
story.
of wrestling films.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. You know,
Yeah.
not
That's
as.
kind of what I felt. I was just kind of like, I felt like it like just didn't, you know, fully grab me because it felt a little bit too
But just getting thrown out a little bit
constructed.
by the cast, because when I was watching it, I was like, oh, it's Florence Pugh. Oh, it's Jack Loudon, who I'd been watching on Slow Horses for like five seasons. Like,
Oh, right.
what the fuck's going on here? Like, and you know, Nick Frost and Lena Headey and then The Rock and then Vince Vaughn. Yeah. I was like,
yeah, I wasn't expecting Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn actually really threw me out.
And then
speaking of which, should we do the synopsis so that we know what the fuck we're doing?
Did we? Yeah. Should we?
Good point.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure if we would. But the interesting thing with this one is we have to decide what accent that Quinny's going to go. And
yeah,
I'm curious.
We've had Sex Club Operator. What did we have last week? We had was it Ring Announcer last week?
I don't think it was Ring Announcer. We've been staying away from
it. Oh, it was Bad German. That's right.
Bad German. That's right. For it was the father. Bad German. This one has. I feel like this needs to be British themed.
Right,
not because we're saving. We're saving
best Nick Frost,
or give us your best Norwich accent.
Or you could say Northerner reading the ad in the newspaper about the forthcoming underground wrestling show.
Okay, right.
Or The Rock, but angry.
I'm torn now. What am I doing?
No, the Rock from Northern England.
Yeah.
All right then.
Testing your fucking improv skills, that's for sure.
Speaking of The Rock, here's some music for you, Quinny.
Now I'm going to hear him doing the talking too. The Rock is cooking. Fuck. Okay, you Rudy Pooh candy arses. This one follows the journey of Paige and her brother Zach, who, after being raised in a wrestling-obsessed family in Norwich, England, gets on an opportunity to try out for WWE, and I'm going to turn that sumbitch sideways and stick it right up your candy ass. And then, when only Paige is accepted into the competitive training program because she smells what The Rock is cooking, she must navigate the challenges of the new world alone, leading to a strain on her relationship with her brother Zach and a test of her own identity that could only be worked out in the ring if you smell what this rock is cooking. That was shit ass.
Oh no! I
mean, you gave it a red hot go.
Yeah, I fully believe Jesus. That was the North Yorkshire Rock explaining everything. Is there? Well done. That was a lot harder.
I like to ask the question: does anyone ever actually listen to what I say in the synopsis?
No.
Yes.
I didn't think so.
Well, I don't, because I just watched the film. So
yeah.
I don't need the synopsis.
Yes. So I just wondered that.
Half the team has white noise while that's going, and I'm there going, I'm listening.
I just had that thought. I was like, I put so much stupidity into these things that they're not an actual informative piece of information that goes out to the listeners.
It gives people information. What are you talking about?
Okay, chat. God.
Good chat. Oh dear.
Tell me what this synopsis was about. Dear God, I dare you.
Yeah, we'll have to 6-7 Quinny.
Yeah, chat. Was it fire or was it cooked?
Yeah.
You're giving Ohio Riz, Quinny, with that question.
Well, you can shut your mouth and know your damn role.
Also, I'd just like to say congratulations to us for killing all of that language, as no teenager will ever want to speak it again.
Our job here is
gibbity toilet there.
Yeah. This is nothing to do. We need to talk about a nicer time, a much simpler time, 2019, before all of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Which is now 6 years ago when the film came out about wrestling. Before the wrestling had gotten to the heights of heights that it is. But I have to admit, though, one of the things that threw me for it was the production and the amount of interesting energy and juxtaposition. Because as we follow through the film, we're watching this small underground people who are doing it for the love and the passion in a very tight community, and then going from that to quite literally the big show and seeing that, like, in the American, yeah, but in that American context where I was like, holy shit, you're going from a place where you're maybe getting 50 people to going to a stadium that is going to fill 50,000 people would be a very interesting thing to experience. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I quite liked about the film.
I like what you're saying, Dylan, in that sense of it's a bit like, you know, it's a movie that starts off like Brassed Off or Full Monty, you know, very gritty, very British, very like, you know, cutesy urban Brit stuff. But then, you know, very quickly is totally fucking big energy, huge crowd, big money.
Lots of pyrotechnics, big screens that yell things at you, and expectation, high expectations of entertainment, which must be difficult.
Jill, tell me about what you know about Paige.
I know that she finished her career in WWE before I started watching it. So she debuted in 2014. Just like at the end of the film, she debuted on Raw and won the Divas Championship in her debut match, which is crazy.
Yeah. That, see, to me, that was the thing that I was like, I don't buy that. That seems fucking stupid to me. Surely there's got to be some amount of building up to a big win. And then it was like, oh, that's right. It's a Tuesday. Oh, fuck me.
Yep, that was that actually happened. Except she was actually good at cutting promos. And I think they've tweaked the little underdog story to make her maybe not so good at it so that she's got something to overcome. She had a number of neck injuries during her time at WWE and ended up leaving due to those. And the last couple of years, she's actually been wrestling in AEW back under her original name, Saraya. And she actually just finished up her contract with them in July of this year. So she's a free agent right now. Who knows? Maybe we'll see her back in WWE.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because you go into that backstory of the actual wrestler, Saraya.
Mm-hmm.
She spent 4 years or three and a half years in Florida wrestling through the lower divisions before coming in and taking out that one straight out. So it felt a little bit like she did a lot of work before.
Yeah, I mean, what they show you in the film is like the training program, and it is a bit light on it. Factually with what goes on in the training program. But, you know, the top people that come through that do end up going into the NXT program. And then if you graduate NXT, that's when you get into actual WWE. So, they kind of show that progression, but they really kind of skipped all of her NXT stuff. They only really showed a little bit of it with the other three girls that she was with.
I thought that was the weakest of the weakest of the part of the film was that kind of like the montage. You know, it's like
it was a straight up montage.
They really raced through to get to her debut.
Yeah, and it was just kind of a little bit like, oh, okay, so this is in the space of like 6 months. Oh no, that was like 4 years worth. But yeah, I'm sure you're not going to slow the movie down for a 4 year. Four-year training regime / you know, how do I get there? People don't want to see that. People just want a 10-minute montage or less.
And also dressing her like really goth and frumpy, that was never her style. Like, she was like the goth thing, but she was fine with skimpy outfits.
Right.
But, I mean, I got that with Florence Pugh. I kind of went like, oh, yeah, this makes a little sense. I felt that kind of – I thought that story worked a little bit.
Yeah,
it's fine. It was a shock when I saw a blonde, and I was like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah,
blonde.
Was there ever a time that the actual wrestler Paige went blonde?
I don't know.
Who knows?
But that was all in like her training era, so I don't know.
Right.
Which blame Stephen Merchant for that. Which kudos to him though for writing himself in as a comedic character, which I quite like.
I just like. I want to know whether he wrote himself in, but also whether he wrote that fucking moustache in. Because I was just like, oh, Steve, no, that's a choice. It's a terrible time.
I thought kind of when I enjoyed the film and I thought some of the strongest parts of it were the one-liner snappy dialogue bits, specifically the British bits. Like, you know, it was obviously very hard to write snappy American dialogue. But then you've got someone like The Rock, who was a producer on the film, who just comes in and does The Rock.
Yeah.
Just kind of let him go. Mm-hmm. But it worked better for me when it was the British people, how they react to stuff, and that dialogue, that worked. So, as I said, I kind of feel like it was two films, like the British side.
Honestly, I would have enjoyed just a straight up British film about indie wrestling rather than it becoming a vehicle for a WWE story.
Sure.
So
I see you nodding big time there, Pete.
That was the bit that kind of lost me a little bit. If we'd stayed in the original world, I probably would have been a lot more invested.
Yeah. And it's funny because they're the beats that actually have the most emotional impact. You know, the stuff that happens in that world with Zach, with the kids, with the teaching of the wrestling and stuff like that. All of that feels really, you know, quite heartfelt. And there is something about when you go into the wonderful, wonderful world of WWE that suddenly everything gets turned up to 11 D stupid. The camera work changes because now they're just using the production from the actual the TV shows. You know, they're doing everything is super glitz.
Yeah.
You know, even her sad apartment that is meant to be kind of like, oh, she feels sad here. It was fucking neon pink, Grand Theft Auto, like beautiful sunsets. And I was like, yeah, right.
Hard to feel alone when you're surrounded by that much beauty. But I thought it was better off. Like it was balanced quite well by one of the scenes that I liked earlier on is when they were doing the workshop wrestling gym that they're in, and Nick Frost's character, who plays the dad, is discussing trying to get his mate, the other wrestler, there and negotiating about how, like, what are they going to do in the show? And there's like, right, well, you take this to the face, I'll ask him. And like, you know, cool. So they wants to hit you in the face with this garbage lid, and he's like, all right, well, let's give it a go, hit me, and just like hits him. And that kind of escalating thing, because they're trying to figure out how much damage can we inflict on each other, because that will be what gets people in. And it's just very matter of fact and does end up with a bowling ball to the nads. You know, which is kind of funny, because you've got to admit that that kind of stuff, you do need to figure out if you can do it or if you even want to do it. Like, that's the real honesty part of it that I enjoyed.
Yeah. My favorite part with that guy was when he was just sliding in beside Stephen Merchant's wife later in the film. It was this subtle thing, but it was, the guy is just so huge. You know, it's just like,
yeah,
it's so good. We got a comment on the post on Instagram from DCRSI, who said, so not exactly a fact or tidbit about the film, but I was actually at the Raw after WrestleMania when Paige won the title in New York.
Hey, nice.
Which is pretty fucking cool. And she got a massive reaction when she won. Also, it's a historic episode, as it was the Ultimate Warrior's last appearance on WWE TV. Wow. As he passed away the next day when he arrived home in Arizona.
Damn.
Yeah. Damn. So, wow. You know, a bit of history. Thank you, DCRSI.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, I love the drama of wrestling. Like, and I love the heightened, crazy drama of WWE, because it's very well polished. Nobody really gets to a point where they're on the show without being able to cut a pretty spectacular promo.
Jill
says no.
Jill's face disagrees.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some people I could show you that I'm like, okay, maybe not.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm suddenly like... And- could I do that? But yeah, like the drama of it is bigger and is so glitzy and glammy and stuff like that.
Mm.
But yeah, like it is two films. Yeah. And finding the bits where they cross over, I think is a bit tough. You know, there's a bit where they're watching the big match and... You know, you've got to insert Rock into that sort of thing. And it's like, all I could think of is, like, I wonder who the guy was on the other end of that phone actually doing the lines. Oh. Like, some poor fucker off the side with a script going, if you smell what the Rock is cooking.
Well, that's just extra. That's like a fuel for the acting.
Yeah, I love that you called WrestleMania the big match.
Sorry. I mean,
also, what time zone was England in if they're watching it in the evening and WrestleMania is like an afternoon to evening show in America?
It's Northern Hemisphere. It's the same one, isn't it?
Yes.
They're like literally like a whole day behind, aren't they?
Yeah, well, maybe they were up at 3 a.m. watching it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know. Maybe. Yeah. Sports people do crazy things. And the in-laws'
families got up at 3 to come and watch with them.
I mean, to be completely honest, if you got a call saying, oh, one of our family members is going to be wrestling at WrestleMania, you'd probably would put a call out and do a party and sort of expect that to sort of show up. Yeah.
I mean, if you were wrestling, Joe, I would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'd record it and go to bed. Dear.
Yeah.
You go, Quinny. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, did it work for people as a film? Like, because I'm getting a distinct sense of, like, we had fun, but it wasn't good.
Yeah, it's a hero's journey, but they don't pay it off at the end. Like, her whole hindrance was that she couldn't cut a promo. And then at the end, she still couldn't cut a promo. I'm like...
It's true. It was pretty bad. It didn't make me... Like, where was the emotional speech writing?
Yeah.
Where was the...
Yeah, you know, I mean, we had the training montage. She won the title. And then it was like...
Yay! I'll get you. It's like, oh. Where's the big
there
speech?
Are a couple of lines about this is for all the weirdos out there. And I was like, you've just shown us in the montage that she's got like a very sharp brain and is capable of really fast comebacks. But no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, but everybody in wrestling is a weirdo.
Yeah. It's true.
You don't have a gimmick if you're not a freak or a geek. Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, it's Florida. Like, who's the oh yeah wrestler? Like, Randy Savage, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a freak,
oh yeah,
he's one of them. Like, and also you're in Florida. Like, Florida has a standard level of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I would say it's a perfectly fine film. For the Hallmark movie of wrestling films.
Yes.
I don't feel compelled to go out and tell people I know who aren't into wrestling to watch it, you know, like it's not on the like, oh, I watched this great film, you should watch it kind of next time I talk to my parents or anything. But I feel like if you're into wrestling, then it's probably a fun watch.
Yeah.
It's
a nice palate cleanser. Considering we did the wrestler and then the Iron Claw, and now we're done fighting with our family, and that was good. Yeah. And this one is based is like a lighthearted one based on a true story, rather than a heavy one based on a true story.
Yeah, I mean, interesting pick to choose Paige to make your film about, because this film came out in 2019. She debuted in 2014, so they would have had to have made this film while she's like 4 years into her career. So why did they choose her? And who initiated it?
Yeah. Like, and my guess is, like, from a really cynical perspective, I look at it and go, okay, it is perfect propaganda. You can be from the middle of buttfuck nowhere, Norwich.
Norwich.
I just like seeing Peter get angry at our terrible pronunciations. It's Norwich. But you can be from the middle of fucking nowhere. You can be essentially a nobody and you can go up through the ranks. You can have experiences where you meet your heroes and, you know,
your dreams can come true.
Yeah. And I can see why that would be a very, very easy sell for the WWE. They're like, oh, fuck yeah.
So this there was a documentary originally about, with the same name, about Paige's journey, and apparently that inspired the film.
There you go.
So that may also be the answer. There weren't documentaries existing about other female wrestlers that got somebody interested in the story, perhaps. Yeah. If you could pick a female wrestler to watch a biopic on, Jill, who would you pick?
Maybe Sasha Banks.
Because
I don't know much about her and I want to know her story. But she was a very popular wrestler in the Divas era, so I'd like to know more about her.
Heel.
I mean, it sort of lends, as you're saying, like there was a documentary and then this turned into a feature film, and it definitely led itself straight into an interesting story that WWE or wrestling would have been picked up on, because she came from a wrestling family, so she knew how to wrestle.
Yeah.
Which was true. And she only had to leave because she had a neck injury, so she had to retire. So she had a forced retirement. And they obviously would have invested quite a bit of money into the characterization. So there would have been a thing like, oh, I'm retiring, but I'm making this film about my story for somebody to do as well. So I can sort of see how it all quickly gelled together.
That's a good point.
So just so what I will do, the entire doco, which is called The Wrestlers Fighting With My Family, which is why it's a little bit harder to find, is on YouTube. So I'll make sure that we put a link to that directly into the post. But, yeah, it's interesting because there is that thing about her being a wrestler. Mm-hmm. You know, she's been doing this since she was 14. She knows the moves. And they really – like, it was an interesting choice – for a WWE thing, a piece of propaganda, to focus on that because, like, there was this whole sort of idea that, you know, the pretty girls who show up and do the things, you know, initially they're like, oh, no, they're not real wrestlers. They're cheerleaders and dancers. And then they were able to show that, no, they are serious wrestlers as well. And at every turn, I was like, oh, man, the propaganda piece here is so perfect for them. You know, you can be good looking. You can be a bikini model. You can also be a scrubber from Norwich. Yeah. Hey.
Yeah. I mean.
It's a very attractive scrubber.
Yeah, well, yes.
You know. Yeah, I mean. You know, not every scrubber gets to have their own cosmetics lines at Hot Topic, but sure. Which she did.
Pretty Kenga makes a good point, though, that, like, he would have liked to see more about the actual women's revolution that Paige helped kick off.
Mm.
So during that PG era that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that was after the Attitude era where they had to, like, tone it down because they were on, you know, public broadcast TV, there was a... The women never had belts, so they came up with the Divas Championship, which was the first belt for female wrestlers. So the match that Paige had at the end of this film, that was her debut, was against AJ Lee, that had the night before just renewed her championship at WrestleMania, and then had... the belt taken by Paige. Like, this is like part of the whole women's revolution thing. So you got like the Bella Twins and Sasha Banks that I mentioned before. So this whole slate of like really good female wrestlers that aren't just there for eye candy. So that would have been like a really good thing to maybe move into quicker than just focusing on the backstory. But I get that it's derivative of a documentary that was made, and so that was the story that they chose to tell. But I don't know, maybe we'd like to see some other things come out of this, even though it's fucking 6 years ago now. So
yeah, and I don't think it did so well that you know, we're going to get a...
Yeah, the WWE Cinematic Universe did not take off.
It wasn't a bad film. Like it made $40 million and only cost him $11 million to make. So it made money.
Yeah, it was adequate. It was fine.
Yeah, it's not like it was a flop.
No.
Come on.
No.
What are you talking about? We could see a sequel.
I mean, I would like to see a sequel, but I'd like to see the sequel that is following up on James, or as he's known, the wrestler, just James, who is the vision impaired wrestler.
Yeah.
That, you know, is actually wrestling for WWE now, I believe, or was until recently.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I say. The stuff that we find and we refer to in this film is actually all the stuff that has to do with the Norwich, like, amateur wrestling society. That was the interesting story, you know, like taking kids off the streets, getting them addicted to something that wasn't drugs or poverty, giving them a purpose. That was
love
a really
being addicted to poverty.
Yeah. Aren't we all? We just love it.
I can't put it down.
Because we all buy too many avocado toasts and need our subscriptions. We like, that's our problem. But yeah, those were the interesting stories, and that's where the film really excels, because it shows that good stuff that is about a regular story about regular folks doing something to bring some joy into their lives. Great.
Yeah.
And as soon as you get into the WWE part of it, you're like, oh, this is just a huge, terrible money-making enterprise that seems to have absolutely no soul, and no wonder she kind of wanted to quit in the film, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how that goes.
I am quite keen to watch the doco now. Just, I'd like to know how much, because there are so many of those beats in this, like her saying that she's going to give up and go home. Like, yeah, that's a movie beat. But
yeah, that doesn't strike me as something that would have happened.
No.
Like, as soon as you leave, it's like, okay, well, the door is fucking locked behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you wanted to do that your entire life, you're not going to be there and go, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't get to come back and say, I didn't leave and I didn't quit. I'm like,
You do if Vince Vaughn is your co-star.
Did we for 1 second buy that Vince Vaughn was an ex-wrestler?
Fuck no.
No, absolutely not. It was, look.
He was a stooge.
Curiously, I did not like the joke that they threw in there about that Vince Vaughn's character's nickname. Which was sex tape.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because he makes people famous.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very poor taste of joke and writing for the fact that Soraya was the victim of a leak.
Oh, shit, was she?
Yeah, like in real life.
That's just classic Vince McMahon for you, though.
Vince McMahon.
I mean, yeah. Vince was still running the show back then.
Yeah. I mean, it was just one of those things. It's like, oh, she was the victim of a leak, and then they threw that joke in the film, and I was like, oh, this doesn't sound like it should have happened, but okay.
Sorry, Predakanga, I hadn't seen your things, but yeah, it is a bit School of Rock, but for wrestling. And we definitely need a Mr. Schneebly.
No, that's next
week.
I feel
like I would have enjoyed that film more.
Good for you of raising that one, Peter, because that's next week.
Yeah, School of Rock for wrestling.
Quite literally Jack Black
in it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which I have my own personal feelings about as well. But anyway, you know.
Sure. Do we believe him as a wrestler? I don't know.
That's a discussion for next week. I have another tidbit of trivia for you on this film. So the debut match that they shot at the end of this film, they actually did it in front of a live audience.
I thought they might have.
Yeah. Funny enough, it was actually a SmackDown audience, not a Raw audience. So it was completely wrong show. And they had a lot of the wrong graphics. And they had the wrong graphics on it. And the wrestler that she is up against in the ring is AJ Lee. Now, they show you the WrestleMania footage of AJ Lee coming down the ramp. And then the wrestler that you see is not her. So they don't actually get AJ to film the stuff for the movie. It's actually current wrestler Zelina Vega, who just also happens to be Latino. So they're just like, close enough.
So the actual wrestling that was, and I'm assuming it's a stunt double. It's not Florence Pugh.
No.
Though there's no part of me that would have really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I don't know who they got to shoot Florence's wrestling in the ring, but yeah, her opponent was actual wrestler Zelina Vega.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I definitely had that feeling watching that match that it's like, no, this was an actual match. Like, this film didn't feel like it had a big enough budget for that bigger crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this match, like, I mean, was it the wrestling in The Wrestler felt better than the wrestling in Fighting With My Family, which is weird.
Sorry, say that again.
The wrestler.
It is weird because The Wrestler, it was a movie that just felt much more real for clear reasons. So I think the wrestling felt more real as well, given what wrestling is. Also, it's like, there's kind of a weird line there.
But honestly, this one looked so bizarre that I'm like, did they like deep fake the faces on? Is that what I'm looking at?
Maybe.
I don't think we had deep fake technology in 2019, Jill.
Yeah, we did.
Sure? I'm not sure. I don't think so.
I think you'll be surprised how quickly time has passed since we had the start of deepfake.
Not for $11 million. Not for the budget they had. They couldn't afford those.
Yeah, it was a beta one. It was a beta tested one.
Yeah, which is why it does feel weird. But it is funny, isn't it, that like the showing actual wrestling, WWE style wrestling, mm-hmm. in a film feels less real than, and I think that comes down to a filmmaker as well. Like, Aronofsky is going to know how to shoot things that feel more real, mm-hmm. even though it's not. That's hard to explain. Like, you're watching the exhaustion of Mickey Rourke, you're watching the hits that you know are fake but still hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas in this, it feels plastic.
I mean, in this one, the cinematographer was the same guy who did Johnny English and David Brent Life on the Road. About a Boy, Sliding Doors, Elizabeth. So very British sensibilities coming through to a very American.
Those films started to get better as you listed them.
Yeah, I was going to say, you started low, went high.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad. But like, sometimes you need to understand where it's coming from to shoot it in the way that makes it the reason it's there and it works. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Fine. I'm just making stuff up now. Do you guys want to see a clip or to give you a bit? Oh. Now, which one should we do? Should we do the one where they first meet The Rock and, you know, they're sort of interrupting him, or do we want the rest of the bit where The Rock is on the phone to the family during WrestleMania?
Oh, sure. Let's go the WrestleMania one.
WrestleMania one, yeah, okay. So we saw in the trailer.
It's all in the trailer, so we've not really even attempted to do non-spoilery stuff here because... No.
Guess what? Someone wrestles and then goes to WrestleMania.
Yeah,
she doesn't.
Doesn't she? Well,
she's at there, but she's not in it.
She technically went to WrestleMania.
What?
Dad, it's actually him.
You what?
Yeah, it's actually him.
Hold the line 1 second. It's Raya and The Rock.
Yeah, right.
I got you on speakerphone, sir.
Hey, yeah, it's Dwayne Johnson. I'm here with your daughter now, and I first met her in London, and I've been keeping tabs on her.
And I just heard some news that I wanted to share with her, and I thought you guys should hear it too at the same time.
Right.
What news?
Paige's time with the NXT is over.
Oh. Hey.
Because tomorrow night she'll make her debut live on Raw, and she will be fighting AJ Lee for the Divas title.
Wait, what? Dick me dead, bury me pregnant.
There it is again.
You don't know what this means to us, Mr. Rock.
Actually, I know exactly what it means to you, ma'am. I myself have come from a wrestling family, too, and...
I want
wanted to share this news with you guys just so you can enjoy it and also just so Paige can prepare herself mentally to go out there tomorrow night and win over the crowd. Because if you don't do that, then they're going to find somebody else who will. And then this whole opportunity will be gone by next week.
Surprise, bitch, you've got a match tomorrow that you haven't prepared for. That is not how it works.
No.
These guys are fucking choreographing the matches a week before a show and practicing all week. You don't just get, guess what? You have a match tomorrow and you're going to win the belt.
No, yeah. They're making it up as you go along. They're giving each other signals in the ring to make a dynamic and regular.
Yeah, two women that have never fought before.
Yeah, they're going to have the ability to say, okay, do three lockups, give me one off the ropes, then go high, and do that whilst in a grapple.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm getting gonked. I'm getting gonked for knowing wrestling stuff. I love it.
Do but I feel like there is like an element in these wrestling films of obviously acknowledging what wrestling is, but from a storyline perspective, still carrying on a little bit of the
magic.
Front of house mythology of how it actually works.
Peter, which is... I'll tell you what, there's a term for it. It's called kayfabe. Give K-fabe? Me a gonk. Gonk me.
How do
they
get
are.
To,
they are gonking
kayfabe?
You hard.
Kayfabe is the illusion of what happens behind the scenes.
Oh,
right.
And it is an interesting thing that because that's what we are getting here is the illusion of...
The whole movie is kayfabe for Paige's career.
Yeah. Fuck, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Like where you're like, okay, we're going to pull back the curtain, but we also know, and everybody still knows there's another curtain. Mm-hmm. We're only talking about the first curtain, but there is another one.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of it where somebody had to, A, sign a contract to say that they were going to win this match. They had to negotiate that. They had to then, you know, work out all of the moves and pass it through all the safety things, all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And nobody is getting up on there without a full fucking promo ready to go.
If you want to get a little peek behind that second curtain, then you can watch Unreal on Netflix.
I did.
You did?
Oh, I did watch some. I watched some because of, like, what Jill said last time. I watched the YouTube one, which was the explainer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started watching Unreal, so yeah,
It's not full. It doesn't completely break kayfabe, but you do get to get a little bit more of an understanding on how they write the show and produce.
I'm happy for it to be broken. Show me how the sausage is made. All right, like, I mean, I don't need the magical realism of wrestling to be, you know, there for me. I'm like, oh no, show me the nitty gritty. Oh, good, you did have a workplace health and safety meeting about that. Excellent.
I remember, like, when I learned some of the that of documentaries, I was horrified because so many documentaries, you're like, oh no, it's the truth. And I see Peter's face go stony.
Sure.
Peter's not going to break her
hey, babe.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe this is the thing. Maybe that wrestling and this kind of wrestling gave us eventually this reality television world that it's their fault. Wrestling caused reality television, caused the degradation of information online.
Wow. maybe.
Bleak.
I do want to just shout out to, so this is a WWE film. So, like, it's actually the WWE's film-making arm. And some of their other spectacular films that they have produced. The Marine, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Wow.
Where did it start, though, WWE films? Where did they? Where was their original masterpiece that everything stemmed from?
Oh, God.
2002.
Sorry?
2002. I'm talking films.
Is it Jingle All the Way?
No, it's The Scorpion King.
Oh, shit.
WWE Films, which was quite literally The Rock going, I want to be in films. You're going to fund all my films, right?
That's not on this list.
Well, then you've got the wrong list.
This is WWE studio film, so it may be, but because their earliest one that they list is Walking Tall from 2004.
Yeah, I reckon they had this one says The Scorpion King, The Rundown, which was that other one that Rock was in, then Walking Tall.
Because, I mean, oh, yeah, there's The Scorpion King. It just doesn't have a year next to it.
Oh, shit. The Condemned, the Steve Austin one. That was a stinker.
We also get, like, absolute masterpieces like Leprechaun, Origins.
Oh, no.
They also released one called Inside Out, and I just had to double take there going, wait.
Yeah, me too. Not that Inside Out.
That would have been quite interesting, though, if WWE Films had been really involved with the release of Inside Out.
Tell me about it.
But, yeah, also the incredible classic Jingle All the Way 2. Ooh. Not the first one.
What?
2.
That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that it didn't even have...
So basically every early Rock film before he started Seven Buck Productions.
Yeah, no.
God, they even have one that's called The Jetsons and WWE Robo WrestleMania.
What the fuck?
This
is wild.
That's a vertical integration I was not prepared for.
Jingle All the Way 2 doesn't even have Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. It stars Larry the Cable Guy. So, Yeah, there you go. Sorry, we've gone down to a terrible, terrible place.
Well, you learn stuff when you listen to us. We teach you things.
Exactly.
You can go and look out for more WWE Studios films. Right, Peter?
I'm lining up for them.
Amazing. But that's not next week, because next week we're going south of the border.
Indeed.
Because you cannot talk about wrestling without luchadors.
Mm-hmm.
And next week's movie is all about luchadors.
Yes, delving into the world of Lucha Libre with Nacho Libre next week.
Yay!
Questionably portrayed by Jack Black. But does have a shit ton of actual luchador cameos in it. So looking forward to watching that.
Yeah, which is a very different flavor to the WWE and the Americanized / British Isle wrestling. It's a very different film.
Some would say it's picante.
Oh, muy picante.
Muy picante. Oh, dear. Outside of that, has anyone watched anything good or fun recently? Interesting? Catching up on anything? No?
Yes.
New season of Saturday Night Live started, guys.
Huh? Yeah, it's Saturday night. have you watched anything good on there? Have there been some good sketches and stuff?
It's okay.
Yeah.
Nothing to write home about. Just
triumphant
yet.
Return of David S. Pumpkins for...
Not yet. Oh, we'll have to cross our fingers for next week.
Yeah, God, I hope he comes back.
What are the skeletons? Part of it.
I actually have to say, because I've been really focused on all of the wrestling for this month, I have not paid enough attention to Halloween-themed things or pumpkin spice stuff. So I need to do a massive injection of... Although, you know, hey, Fighting With My Family did have a Charmed reference. So technically you actually hit both there, Jill.
It did.
Yeah.
I'm excited because next Monday I'm going to go and watch the first couple of episodes of Welcome to Derry.
It's a TV series. Prequel.
Yeah.
And
that was amazing. And by the looks of it, it's the prequel series to It, but it's also doing what a lot of the Stephen King things do of you know, just grabbing bits out of here, there, and everywhere from Stephen King's oeuvre.
I have a.
Is it set in Derry in Northern Ireland?
No, Derry, Maine.
Derry, Maine. Damn.
Although that would be interesting.
We can't have a crossover with Derry Girls.
Yeah, see, that's why I would watch it.
I'm quite angry, Quinny, because we had a conversation together about the Derry TV show. And I don't know which algorithm has been listening to my phone or our conversation. I have been served an inordinate amount of clown content since that conversation has happened. So much that I've...
No, don't let my phone hear you.
I've a noticeable difference in the amount of clown content. Where could that have covered? Like, we had a conversation about the dairy
creepy
thing.
Creepy clown quality.
Creepy clowns. Oh, no.
Sorry.
Don't let your phone
Sorry, Jill.
Hear.
I have also watched. I had a horrifying moment this week because I watched the new season of The Diplomat on Netflix, which I really enjoy. Like I enjoy the shit out of that show. And as I was watching it, I had a horrible, just spine-chilling fucking thought. Watching all of this political intrigue and, you know, how the different countries interact with each other and, you know, the backbiting and all of the possible massive political turmoil. And I thought, this is a really good piece of drama. And I thought, could you imagine if you put Donald Trump in the middle of that? Like, you think about, like, the West Wing and how fucking smart and competent and amazing all of the characters were. You know, all of these political stories are about smart, competent, amazing people. And then that. Yeah,
but if you did that same show, but like if you did The West Wing, but it was Trump, it would be like The Office.
I just keep trying to tell you guys, they already made the political like the political show for Trump's White House. It's South Park season 27, which has just finished, by the way, after 6 episodes. They're like, yep, end of season. Left it on a cliffhanger.
It was supposed to be 50 episodes.
They part of their deal was that they can write or whatever. So they just decided to end this season.
Wow. So, well, they got their money.
Yeah. Like good after you signed over the once the $1 billion clears, you're like, well, I'll do whatever I feel like.
Five. I thought it was $5 billion.
I thought it was one. Oh, I don't know. Yeah. That's too much money for one person.
Too much fucking money for anything. Anything that starts with a B in that sense.
Well, I hope they go and like fucking cure world hunger because no other billionaire's fucking doing that.
No.
True that. Well, Pete, have you been watching anything?
Nope.
Thanks, Pete.
I'm supposed to watch this week.
Just that one.
She does her homework and that's it.
Nacho Libre.
Got nothing.
Okay. No, absolutely nothing at all. Okay, fine.
That's fair. We will let you off the hook. For next episode, could you have tried to have watched something?
I mean, I've got some shit going on. The fact that I'm even watching the homework is a thing. I am keeping up with Slow Horses, but we've kind of talked about that.
Oh, yes.
And that's it.
Yeah, look, there's a few other things that are coming up that are coming out, which is Predator Badlands. Yes. Me and Pete, you didn't just rush out and see Tron Ares? So that was right up your alley.
Guess what I'm going to see on Friday night?
Oh, tell us.
Not Tron Ares.
Frankenstein.
Oh, Frankenstein. Yeah.
Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Frankenstein.
I can't believe we've got two Frankenstein-related movies that are coming out roughly the same time with Frankenstein, like Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, and then there's The Bride, which is about the bride of Frankenstein.
Oh.
Frankenstein.
I hadn't heard about that one.
Yeah, that's Christian Bale.
Though at the moment, there are three films that are currently in or around cinemas have been released in the last couple of months that are all called Good Boy.
What?
Yeah. So there's a horror film about a dog that can see ghosts and stuff called Good Boy.
So all
but then there are two other films that were released in various different film festivals that are both called Good Boy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You're like, Pete, if you had a show or whatever that had exactly the same title as something else that was coming out at the same time, what would you do?
You do a title search before you lock your title in.
You mean
make sure that you don't you have did, the same title as something else?
You did pre-production? What do you mean? Why don't you just change the title on the fly?
I suppose if there was something else in production with the exact same title at the exact same time, it wouldn't show up in a title search, though. Yeah. So
that's true. Yeah.
Maybe sometimes it could be just bad luck.
Just having a look at what else is coming out. Has Been Hotel season 2, in case you watched Has Been Hotel.
Very much
so. The Running Man.
Yes.
So not sure.
Jill's eyes went very squinty.
What is that?
Okay, so did you ever see...
Oh, wait, based off the movie...
No, nope.
Well, based off the original book.
Right.
So, yeah, it's Edgar Wright directing, who we enjoy his stuff, with Glenn Powell as the titular running man.
Right. Yes, but I think we talked about this before at some point.
Yeah.
The first trailer, I was like, okay, the last trailer I saw, I was like, oh, yeah, there's that Edgar Wright, you know, style and the sense of humor. And I'm like, I'm on board.
Has anybody watched this other Glenn Powell Disney Plus TV show about him disguising himself so he can play football or some shit?
Chuck something?
I have not.
Looks terrible, I must say.
Also, don't forget to get your Stranger Things recap watch on for
Oh,
the
fuck Stranger Things. I'm
restart of
over it.
this part one of the
There's
multi-part
got to be
Stranger
like
Things.
20 TV shows that started and finished before Stranger Things did.
Yeah, but that was Firefly, and that was years ago.
I do wonder whether that's one of those things where you're like, oh no, you've actually missed your boat. Like
Yeah,
you
I'm over
waited.
it. I don't give a shit about the second half of the final season. I'm
I
done.
know that Zootopia 2 is coming out, but is Wicked, this is the second part of Wicked out soon?
Yes, next
Very soon.
month.
Yeah, all this
Gina
stuff's
is
coming
going
out.
to clear her schedule to watch that one.
She probably
You
will.
can? Yeah, probably multiple times.
Yeah, there you
Hell
go.
yeah. I'm very excited for it. I went very, very hard into listening to that soundtrack everywhere I drove for quite a
Drinking your green drink.
Peter, I feel like we've talked about this before. Yeah. Films that have the exact same premise, but came out at roughly the same time, but were different.
I was just saying in the chat that I want to do an episode on those one day where
Yeah.
we
Sure.
list some twin films and pick the best one of
Oh.
the two.
Yeah.
Like Deep Impact and Armageddon.
Exactly. And in that
Ah.
case, Deep Impact over Armageddon.
Every time.
But what
Yeah.
but does this also call into question some of the thing like films that were released because of the main one, like Transformers and Transmorphers?
No, they're that's you know
Or
they're
something.
mockbusters. They're cheap knockoffs as opposed to like Tari said, Dante's Peak slash Volcano.
Oh,
Like released at the same time, which means that they
this
were like being made at the same time.
is
Dante's Peak over Volcano.
this is a fascinating one, and I hope there's a PowerPoint presentation. I'm ready for
Like Peter's face of like, I don't remember saying I was going to do a PowerPoint.
I
I
think
wanted
you know
to
I'm going to get a
combine
spreadsheet
it
involved
though.
at some point.
Oh, we
I think
could.
we should have of the four of us, two people watch one film and the other two watch the other, and then we debate.
I think we need to list. I think we need to list them all the films that are versusing and have the audience, people in the
Oh
chat,
yes, we'll narrow it
vote on
down.
it so that and we don't tell the results to each other until the show. There we go.
I like that.
There we
I
go.
like that.
We'll do a
Okay.
little survey for
Yeah.
periodic table
See what everybody's opinion
listeners
is
and
of it.
viewers,
Yeah.
and then we'll see it live about what they voted versus what we thought.
And please, if there are some that you can suggest that are like, same film of the same genre or whatever, same time, please send them to us.
What are the
Like,
rules? Same, well, aligned concept? And does it have to be around the same time, or can it be within a
pretty.
year?
It's usually around the same time, within a couple of years of each other.
A couple of years. Okay, good. That gives you a
Yeah.
bit of boundaries to do that.
Yeah. I guess this is sort of trying to go with that whole collective unconscious thing that, people are coming up with exactly the same idea at the same time in different parts of the world, and then.
Like there were those like two Truman Capote ones at one stage, like just covering the exact same plot. Like, yeah. It's. Yeah. I think that we should just pick some and make them fight.
Yes,
Yes.
exactly. Well, stay tuned for that, and we'll put a link up, hopefully when we have a survey ready, once we've got the list and
Yeah.
promo it a bit so you can vote.
Yeah.
Sounds
Yeah, I
good.
like that. It sounds like
Okay.
fun.
Great.
Enjoy that stuff.
Okay. Well, don't forget to
Okay.
go out and watch Nacho Libre. Oh, by the way, you can see Fighting with Your Family, with My Family. Sorry, yeah, Fighting with My Family on Freeview. So it's not that
There
hard
you
to
go.
find if you want to go out and have a look at it or rent it. I think it's the same thing with. I didn't look up where you can see Nacho Libre at the moment.
Yeah,
It
I'll look
is.
right now.
It's on screen somewhere, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I could try and look that up, but no. My computer went not connected to the internet. I
Anyway,
went, that's strange.
everyone in the chat has Google.
Yeah,
They're
they can
probably better than
absolutely
us.
write in the exact same thing that we all do.
Yeah.
All right. Amazing. Well, we'll see you all next week then.
Yes.
Thanks,
Okay.
everybody.
Bye,
Have a great week.
nerds.
Bye.
Good night.
Subscribe the latest teams. Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.